It is no secret what God can do. And that ties in with Psalm 91, and that's where we're going to be at today. These last four or five messages have all been from the Psalms, and today's going to tie up all the loose ends, and I'm kind of going to tie all of them together. So Psalm 91, I'm going to read it all because it's so good, and then I'm going to address about four or five of the verses. The Bible starts out in Psalm 91, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give you his angels charge over you and keep you in all your ways, in the hands that shall bear you up, lest he dash you your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the snake, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, and because he has known my name, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my master." We're going to look and see about God's abiding safety. And I wrote down some headings for this message, and I started out with the blessings of being close to God, and I hope that you are close to God, but that's not the one I chose. I wrote down our Heavenly Father, His promises to protect us, and the third one I wrote down, the God who is our refuge, and I chose safety, the safety of abiding in the presence of God. And the Bible tells us in James 4:8, "Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you." And when we draw near to God, I want to tell you, He will bless you in amazing ways, and He'll fulfill Psalm 91 in your life. Psalm 91 teaches us so many things. It teaches us that we should draw near to God, as well as to know who God is. And it also teaches us the names of God and some of the promises of God. So I want us to hear the safety of being in the presence of God, that we draw near to God, and as we draw near to God, He draws near to us. Pastor James Hastings called this psalm of God's inner circle, and we belong in that inner circle. And he noted that for every advance on man's part, there's an immediate and corresponding advance on God's part. When man goes out to seek God, God meets him more than halfway. When he calls upon God, God will answer him. Loving faith on man's part will be met by faithful love on the part of God. Isn't that a good explanation of God? As we advance, God more than halfway meets us there. As we love God, He pours out His love on us. So we're going to start looking at, there's several different lessons in verses 1 and 2. So let me read them again and I'll share with you just a few things about verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And then verse 2, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, and my God, in Him I will trust." So Psalm verses 1 and 2 have multiple lessons. And these lessons are provided for us so that we can draw near to God. And you may ask the question, why or how do I draw near to God? And you may not ask that question, but I have been asked by many people, how do you do that? How do you have a prayer life? How do you walk with the Lord? So that's what we're going to learn today. the lessons that we see is, first of all, we see the provision of God's protection for those that do draw near Him. And the Bible starts out, draw near to the Lord. So as we dwell with the Lord and draw near to Him, that's the first step in abiding in His presence, knowing that you can go to the Lord no matter what's going on. And then the Bible tells us that He protects those who abide in His shadow. So as we dwell in His presence, realize His shadow is overshadowing you, but not only you. You know, His shadow overshadows the whole world. So how do we draw near to Him? We abide in His presence. We seek to be under His shadow. The Bible tells us the Lord is our refuge to those who draw near to Him. And if there's ever been a time that we need the Lord as our refuge, it's today. The Lord is a fortress to those who draw near Him. Three things. Those who abide in His shadow, He's a refuge to those who draw near Him. And He's also a fortress to those who draw near Him. So the first lesson David is teaching us is to draw near to God and do it any way you can. Tell God how much you need Him. Tell Him you don't know how to. Ask Him to draw you to Himself. There's characteristics in these three things He tells us about Him. The first characteristic is He's a shadow, and that shadow protects us from things like the blazing sun. Have you ever been out in mowing your yard and there's no shade and you're just sweating? You know, I'm wearing a hat right now because I don't want to be sunburned, but I sure would like to be up under the shadow of those trees right now. And God seems like He always provides a shadow for those that are walking and trying to abide in His presence. And then He's also a refuge, and that's a place of protection for those that draw near to Him, those that will seek Him during a time of danger in their life. And then He tells us He's a fortress from danger. And this fortress is a picture of God being a fortress for a mass of people. I mean, like a church, a whole group of people. It's not. It can be an individual, but it's large enough to house His church worldwide. So as you draw near to God, someone would ask, where would I go to draw near to Him? In other words, how do I do it? The Bible says, dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And God becomes your dwelling place. Now, I'm going to explain to you in just a second how to make that easier to do. But what He's teaching us is our job to seek Him and allow Him to be a dwelling place for us. That kind of speaks to people that are stubborn, people that want to do things themselves. And God's going to let you be stubborn. He's going to let you do things yourself. And then when we get to the point where, Lord, I can't do it, then come to Me. So we have to choose to go to Him as a dwelling place. God becomes our dwelling place when we ask Him to. Our job is just to go to Him. He is a place of meditation, a place to seek Him, a place to seek peace. He's a place to seek joy and protection. So how do you dwell with Him? How do you you choose to abide in His presence, first of all? And then the second thing, you start praying. You talk to Him. You verbalize your heart. God, I'm weak. God, I need help. God, I just need You. I don't know how you're going to approach Him, but I do know that you got to start out by praying to Him. Take your Bible with you. This is the instruction book of how to get to His presence. And then what do you do when you're in His presence? He gives you instruction. He paints pictures of Himself. So we pray. We seek Him by His Word. We seek Him with fellowship with each other as a godly group, as a church. We seek Him, His dwelling place, by singing. And you may think that's kind of strange. I mean, we just sing right now, but I'm telling you to sing by yourself to Him. Get off in some wooded area. Get off in your backyard. Get off in a room in your house and just start singing to Him. I can't tell you how that just draws you into His presence, but it does. If you're having time with a quiet time, struggling with how to get to God's presence, God has given us all a mouth. Sing to Him. We draw into His presence by listening to Him. We listen to His Word. And then verse 1 tells us it's a secret place. It is a secret place. And you know, God has His ways, and His ways are far above our ways, and He keeps certain things from us. But other things He allows us to understand. I don't know everything about God. I don't confess to. I just don't. But I understand what He's allowed me to understand. So it is a secret place, and it's a place of secrets. But God doesn't always have to explain to us everything about Him. But He will explain to you what you need at the time you need it. His secret place reveals the secrets that guide our lives. So as we get in trouble, we dwell in His presence, allow Him to be our refuge, our strength, our fortress. Realize that that secret place is where God is going to guide you through life. He's going to guide you through the things that you're going through. That's the secret place in the shadow of the Almighty. Let's keep going and look at verse 2 again. The Bible says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. God's place to those who draw near Him is a place of safety. And rest assured, if you draw near to Him, you can trust Him. When God allows us to go through storms, those storms are made and often given to us so that we'll draw to Him. And as we go through storm after storm after storm, we learn how to trust Him. A new Christian has a whole lot of trouble learning how to trust God. But you know, that doesn't mess God's mind up at all. He's not concerned about it. But I'll tell you what He's going to do. He's going to throw a storm at you so that you'll learn how to depend on Him, how to trust in Him. How many of you have gone through storms and storms and storms in your life? After each storm, haven't you grown a little closer to the Lord and learned how to trust Him? I've seen great men of God, and usually they're older, and they've gone through a lot of storms. And boy, those are the guys I want to look to and learn from. So God lets us go through these storms. As we go through these storms, He's speaking to you in verse 2. He's telling you He's your refuge. He's your fortress. He's your God. And notice how personal this is with David. David said, God is my refuge. God is my fortress. God is my God. He makes a point to say it like that. Pretty personal. So today I'm asking you, do you know God as your refuge? Do you know God as your fortress? And do you know God as your God? I made a note in my Bible to look at Psalm 142, so I want to read that to you. There's one in particular verse I want to look at, but Psalm 142 is just a great psalm for those of us that are going through stuff in life. The Bible says, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before Him, and I declare before Him my trouble. When my spirit is overwhelmed within me, then God knew my path and the way in which I walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. That's the verse I want us to hear. No one, David cries out, he's pretty desperate right now. No one cares for my soul. In verse 5, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, hear my prayer, in other words. For I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, and for though they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, and you shall deal bountifully with me. What a psalm for those that are going through the stuff today. And then he says in verse 4, he just cries out, Lord, no one cares for my soul. But as I read Psalm 42 and as I read Psalm 91, I can guarantee you this. Man may not care for your soul, but God does. God, He created that soul for Him. He created you for Him. And He invites you to dwell in His secret place so that He can care for your soul and that you can feel Him caring for your soul. As you look at Psalm 91, verse 2, God has you covered. He is your safe place if, and there's an if here, He's your safe place if, the if requires something on your part. If you draw near to Him, God never, ever closes the door onto those that draw close to Him. Some of those storms we go through are just designed by God to make us draw close to Him. I want us to hear that and remember that. And the sooner we draw closer to Him, the sooner that storm may be over. If you want to go through a long storm, then stay away from Him. See how long He can make that storm. But as you draw closer to Him, I have a feeling that it'll be a very short storm that you have to go through. Remember, though, His ways are not our ways. I can't promise you that your storm will be short. Your storm, the storm that you go through, may not be for your benefit. It may be for somebody else's benefit. And God has these things that He keeps from us. He doesn't always explain His ways. But I promise you that He will draw near to you if you draw near to Him during the storms. I want to review His names in verses 1 and 2. In verse 1, David calls Him Most High and Almighty. And then in verse 2, he calls Him Lord, and he calls Him My God. These are four names for God. The Most High is Elyon, God Most High, Exalted One, Worthy to be Worshipped. And there is no other God except Elyon. And then as he uses the Most High, this is the Almighty, El Shaddai, God Almighty, the Mount One, able to protect. And then when he gets to verse 2, he calls Him the Lord, and this is Yahweh. This is the great I Am. There is no beginning, no end. He is the God of our fathers. His name is forever. He's the Father or protection to His creation. And then David calls Him My God. And this is Elohim, Creator. In the beginning, Elohim created the earth and everything in it. And remember this, as He created everything in it, He knows how to fix everything when it breaks. He is never going to let His people break without Him fixing them. So how many names of God do you know? That's a big question. I started going through the Bible and trying to just come up with names throughout, starting in Genesis, and I couldn't even get through Genesis without exhausting the whole piece of paper. So I went to Revelation, and there's 20 names in the book of Revelation alone for God. He's called the firstborn from the dead. He's called the highest of earthly kings, the Alpha and the Omega, Lord God, the Almighty, Son of God, the first and the last, the living one, Son of God, witness or faithful witness. He's the Creator, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Root of David, the Lamb, the Shepherd, Christ, the anointed Christ, faithful and true, the Word of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then Psalm 91 teaches us at least four names for God. It also gives us some characteristics of God. And as we look at all these, first characteristic, He describes Himself as a shadow. Another characteristic He describes Himself as is a refuge, also a fortress. So if you study verses 1 and 2, I'm telling you, you can spend all week for studying these first two verses and just get your heart full of God and who He is. And then I read this, or heard a sermon, and it had this in it. I know that you know God, but do you know what you know about God? Now, let that sink in for a minute. All of us know about God, but do you really know what you know about God? I know God's a Savior. Do you really know that in your heart? And I know He is. I know that God is my fortress. So as we go through things, that proves whether you know what you know about God. Do you know that He's your fortress? Do you know that He's your refuge? As you go through the stuff of life, do you know that He's your refuge? So everything you know about God in your mind, do you know that in your heart about God? Do you trust Him with everything that you are and have? So I want to begin to close with verses 13 through 16. So He's our refuge, our fortress, our shadow, our strength. He takes care of us, and we understand that. And verse 14 says, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. As David writes this, he gives us several I will statements. In fact, he gives us six, I think. As David sets his love upon God, therefore I will deliver him. God will deliver us as we set his love on, our love on him. But then David says, I'll set God on high because he has known my name. Well, God says, I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and God says, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. In long life, I will satisfy him. Six I will statements that God makes for us. If we love him, I'll set him on high because he's known my name. So I need to ask you, do you know the names of God when you need God? Do you know him as creator? Do you know him as your savior? Do you know him as a shepherd? I've had the students do some homework on the shepherd, the good shepherd. And I'm doing this so that they can know who the shepherd is. How personal is the shepherd to you? As we call upon God, the Bible says he'll answer us. As we go through trouble, the Bible says God will be with us in trouble. As we need it, he will deliver us and honor us. And with long life, God will satisfy us. And God will show us his salvation. I don't know about you, but that excites me. God is our refuge and strength. He delivers us. He sets us on high. He answers us. He delivers us from trouble. He honors us. He satisfies us with long life and his salvation. The Bible tells us in Psalm 46, God is my refuge and strength. He is my very present help in a time of trouble. And then in verse 10 he says, be still and know that I am God. So today I want to close with that, be still and know that God is God. I know that we're going through some stuff today. Next Sunday we're going to go through some stuff. There's changes coming. We can't help those changes, and we can sure depend on God to be with us and deliver us, protect us, love us, honor us, for those that love him and draw closer to him. So I guess the homework for next Sunday, between now and then, begin to draw closer to God and make it an effort to do it. Every single day, Lord, how do I draw closer to you? More close today than I was yesterday. Draw closer to God and he'll draw closer to us. So let's go to the Lord and pray. Almighty Father, we love you. We praise you. What an awesome God, Lord, you are. You are our refuge, our fortress, our strength. You're everything, Father. Paul said, you make our weaknesses strong. Paul also teaches us we can do all things in Christ, in God. As we know that we're weak, Father, we come to the strong man. We come to you. Help us, Father, through this time of difficulty that this world's going through, this country's going through, Clarkson's going through, our church is going through. I ask, Lord, that you would draw us closer to you. Lord, that you would help us to make a point to draw closer to you. To teach us, Lord, how to pray, how to read our Bibles, how to understand by reading the Bible. Teach us, Lord, how to sing praises to you. Teach us, Lord, how to listen to you as you answer us. I do pray, Father, if there's anybody in hearing distance today who does not know you as Lord and Savior, that, Lord, you would knock on the door of their heart and let them know that you're speaking to them, that you've died for their sins, and Father, because you died for their sins, you're offering the free gift of salvation to them. And all their part is, Father, is to accept you as their Lord and Savior, to invite you into their life to confess their sins. God, we love you and praise you and thank you for this time. I pray your protection, Father, each one as they leave. I pray for this day. It's still the Lord's day. Father, help us to hallow it and to worship you all throughout the day. And Father, to look around and see the blessings of life that you just pour out on us. God, at the end of this day, we'll put our head down on the pillow and thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. And Lord, I pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.